Our next speaker is Tommy Martin, who's a partner at Baker & Botts in Washington, D.C. Tommy practices, his practice centers around complex patent and trade secret litigation before the ITC, district courts, and the Federal Circuit. He represents clients in seller disputes before Amazon.com. His experience in that regard includes initiating and responding to takedown requests under Amazon's utility patent neutral evaluation process, as well as Amazon's brand registry infringement reporting process. And he'll be talking about Schedule A litigation. Please welcome Tommy.
Thank you. Is that introduction kind of prefaced? A lot of my practice is stopping infringing counterfeits coming across the border, from working at the ITC to working at Amazon, and I also work closely with Customs. As a result of that work, I've come across what I refer to as Schedule A litigations. If you guys watch your docket, if you're litigators, you see coming in every day. In fact, I saw three this morning, filed yesterday. But you'll see Schedule A showing up in the defendant column. And so today I'm going to tell you a little bit about what that is and how we use that to help our clients stop infringing products from coming into the United States and being sold on e-commerce platforms like Amazon and Walmart and similar ones. So what I'll talk through today is, first I'll get into a little more of the background. What is a Schedule A complaint? What is Schedule A litigation? Where did it come from? What's the evolution? How did we get to this point where people are filing these types of litigations? I'm going to go through the statistics that we've pulled together, show some trends in these types of litigations that we're seeing, and then, of course, I'll go through some pitfalls for those who are considering bringing these or even get involved in them. So as far as the background, there's three common traits that we see in what we refer to as a Schedule A litigation. The first is the plaintiff always seeks a temporary restraining order against a large number of hard-to-identify infringers, and that'll make a little more sense in a minute. It's always an IP infringement claim, but it can be any of the big three: patent, copyright, or trademark, including design and utility patents. And the Schedule A name comes from the fact that the plaintiff typically hides, and maybe hides not a good word, but effectively you don't reveal the names of the defendants. You put them in a Schedule A that's filed under seal as an attachment to the complaint. And so that's where the name comes from. And so the TRO itself is particularly powerful, and in the modern day Schedule A type complaint is typically directed to e-commerce platforms, and it's really powerful in that regard, in that the TRO that issues is not just directed to the infringer, but it's actually directed to the financial institutions that are handling payments for the e-commerce platform. So this one in particular, once the order issues, it doesn't just go to the infringer, it goes to PayPal and Amazon and has them immediately retain all funds. So they freeze their accounts. And this is also interesting because even though your TRO only lasts 14 days typically, the online marketplaces have been known to continue freezing your account well beyond the TRO. So even in instances where a preliminary injunction isn't sought after the TRO issues. And this is particularly powerful on e-commerce platforms because they're not just freezing, for example, if you go on Amazon and you can buy a product, that seller could be selling 20 different things. So it doesn't just freeze the account associated with the one product that infringes, it freezes their entire account. So it's a pretty good gut punch for the infringer who's hit with this TRO. This is pretty staggering. This is limited to design patents in the Northern District of Illinois, but there is a 100% success rate in obtaining temporary restraining orders in these types of complaints. There's a 99% success rate for the preliminary injunctions. That's just a little lower, we believe, because getting a preliminary injunction before you've had any discovery, et cetera, that's a little bit higher burden, but permanent injunctions also 100%. And going back to the 100% for the TRO, it's 100% because it is an ex parte proceeding. So because you've hidden the name of the defendants, they don't get to show up and defend themselves for the motion for the temporary restraining order. So It's no surprise there's a 100% success rate there.